And we are back with the Barca Breakdown Podcast. My name is Adam.
And I'm Yusuf. We ask you, go to Spotify.
Please.
Twitter.
Please.
Instagram. Facebook.
Please.
Follow us. Leave us a comment. Leave us a review.
Slide into those DMs, ladies and gentlemen. We really love interacting with you guys and would appreciate, you know, anyone who tweets at us, sends us an Instagram DM, comments on our posts. We love it. We love kind of getting more of your feedback and just chatting, you know, the S with our Barca fans. You know, part of the reason we started this podcast, if you go way back to the first episode after the Lyon game in the Champions League in March, I don't want to get too sentimental here, but as the year comes to an end, we're almost getting on the year anniversary of the Barca breakdown.
True.
But, you know, we started it because we realized there wasn't a great amount of energetic, youthful Barca fans who were kind of communicating and keeping a community together where we can discuss constructively how the team is playing and how we can get better. If you guys watched the game today at Anoeta against La Real, you know that this is going to be one of those more constructive podcasts. You know, riding into this game, we had been on a pretty good streak of performances, right?
Definitely.
We'd both been pretty
happy. A lot of
energy,
a lot of improvements.
Maybe let up a few too many goals against Mallorca, but we won 5-2. We beat Atletico with that crazy Messi goal. You know, and then we didn't cover a podcast, one of the few games we didn't do. It was against Inter Milan in the Champions League this week because we already won the group, and we, you know, there was a lot of rotations, so we figured we'd wait off until the weekend. But you know, the team's been on the up and up, and today we faced a little bit of a halt. But I guess going back to the Inter Milan game, pleasantly surprised by Valverde's choice of rotations. We saw a lot of players who we don't always see.
Young
we saw
guys.
Carlos Perez, Alenia, and then the man who seemed to steal the hour in social media. Honestly, I think he was a little bit more hyped than he should have been, but Todi Beast is what they're calling him nowadays.
Really?
Todibo. Yeah, everyone was
That's very big excited.
Hype. Hey,
very
he looked good,
hype.
Man. He
True.
Was, you know, Lautaro Martinez is one of the best on-form strikers in the world right now, and Todibo had him in his pocket. Very good defense against him.
I mean, we have to give them credit, right? A lot of these young guys came out against a team we thought we would struggle against with these young guys, and we won the game. 2-1.
Huge, man.
Yeah, very
good. Ansu Fati.
For sure.
Fati mania is back, ladies and gentlemen.
Youngest Champions League goal scorer.
Of all times.
Of all time.
Better
we
than
have
Ronaldo.
And we
better
signed
than
it
Cristiano,
more years.
Better than Messi. Yeah, it was overall a pretty heartwarming performance in a sense because we had a lot of La Masia talents out there. Wagyu was looking good, my
True.
Dude, you know, who
we
you know, kind of got lost in the limelight even though Elba and Sergi and even Semedo have had injury problems. Wagyu really hasn't had that chance to kind of, you know, peek through into that first team, but he looked great. So, you know, overall, we left the Inter Milan game very happy, right? You go to San Siro, you get a win in a game that they had to win to move on to the Champions League. They're the Serie A, you know, leaders, and they came against the B team, and We got a nice victory.
We gave him hell, honestly. And I'm going to shout out my boy Perez. I'm happy he played. I'm happy he scored. But overall, we're happy with that game. And, you know, it gives us a little more confidence in our youngsters.
Yus predicted it correctly, right?
2-1.
Got to
yeah.
give him some points for that. No
points.
Doubt about it.
Wherever that record is
yeah.
holding these points, these, you know, mythical points where I know you've scored a couple points. I've
quite
scored a couple points.
Quite a few over here. Hopefully our boy Mateo is, you know, one of our great fans keeping track.
Speaking of which, we need you guys to send us your predictions. We want to know how you guys are predicting these and, like, how it lines up with our predictions.
True. We're going to start posting on Twitter and Instagram. What do you guys predict? Here's our predictions, you know, just so they're out in the nether. So any of the haters can say, wow, these guys are idiots. They got it wrong. Or they can say,
Not today.
Adam is a genius. He really got those predictions
You're
right.
You're always talking from your high horse.
No.
Yeah, it's your Barca constructed high horse.
I've had a few good predictions this year.
I'm not disagreeing with
but
that.
But I'll give you this. You are the most recent correct predictor.
True.
And so hats off to you.
Well, speaking of which, we're going to come up to our Christmas time where we predicted our 10 games and we'll make a podcast.
Quote me on it.
The
yes, if you guys remember, we did a quote me on it episode, our second ever, and we predicted, you know, how Barca would fare in a 10-game span that ends with this Clásico on
Well, before,
Wednesday.
When we made these predictions, we didn't know that the Clásico was going to be pushed to this point, which
True.
Is kind of like a Christmas gift, right?
In some sense. I mean, I wish it... You know, I kind of wish it would have happened this weekend because we were on such a good form.
True.
It's going to be a little bit rough, I think, going into the Clásico with, you know, such a poor performance. But with Messi playing one of his worst games, I mean, definitely his worst game of this season and one of the worst games of his last few seasons, hopefully he'll Hopefully he was trying to rest himself, or hopefully, you know, his mind just wasn't fully in the game, and he'll come out big against Madrid. He seems to always love scoring, at, you know, against Madrid. So Suarez, too, if we remember last year, Suarez scored a hat trick at home, 5-1. That was a beautiful game. So we're trying to keep the energy up. We're trying to keep the good vibes going leading into the Clasico. But we had a little bit of a game today against Real Sociedad. Unfortunately, we didn't make predictions, but let's go into the lineups. Front three, pretty standard with Dembele still out. Messi, Griezmann, Suarez. The midfield is where we got a real interesting, and interesting is not a good word in my vocabulary, interesting lineup choice by Valverde. He put in Busquets, Frankie, and Rakitic. Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts when you saw it? You know, what were your thoughts when you saw the lineup?
Rakitic has been performing well in general. So in that case, that's okay. But then when I saw it's Busquets, Rakitic, and FDJ, I just don't think there's enough of forward ball movement in those three to normally normally deal with a team that presses us like Real Sociedad, right? This lineup, or midfield, I should say, seemed to struggle with the fact that we couldn't either get the ball moving forward as well, or, you know, control it and prevent them from breaking our midfield / back line sometimes. They had way too many shots on goal, right? So not to, you know, go too far forward in this game, but it kind of made me uneasy. I didn't think this is the best choice for a team that presses us as hard as they do, and we're away. So I wasn't 100% feeling great.
True. Yeah, I think my main concern always with Busquets and or Rakitic is when we play against teams that press, they're just not quick enough anymore, and they don't seem to have the, you know, quick passing in mind or the ability to recover if they, you know, get pressed and lose the ball to really stop a good team. And, you know, if you look at the goals for in La Liga this season, Real Sociedad are on 28. They were on 27, which is third highest in the league, right? So, you know, knowing their style, knowing the way they play, knowing they're playing at home, and knowing that they were fourth in La Liga, right? I mean, without a doubt, a definite contender and bright spot of the season is how Real Sociedad performed. I was worried, and you know that worry I think came to fruition because everything we've said, when the team presses us hard, Busquets and Rakitic don't do well, right? I hate those toxic fans who refer to Anfield every time, but you know that's kind of the one we all think of is that when another team pushes us hard when we're away, and Rakitic and Busquets are in the lineup, it's really hard for us to compete. We just, you know, you look at the possession in this game. I think it was like 54% to 46% in favor of Real Sociedad.
The first half was where we really struggled in that, too.
True. And then on the back line, we had Piqué and Lenglet teaming up. We had Jordi Alba return to the lineup as well. Semedo on the bench. And then Sergio Roberto right back again. Yeah. He'd been kind of running a hot streak at right back. I think he actually did well today. But, you know, Sergio Roberto is right back. I'm always much more confident when that name appears in that spot at home at the Camp Nou because that's when I feel like he really, you know, rises above. But let's get into the game. You know, there's two ways to look at this game, right? The one way is to look at it just in the context of refereeing. And we got jobbed. We got screwed, right? I'm pretty sure Florentino paid the refs or something like that. I mean, it just happens every season. Any season when Barca dominate, okay, sure, we'll win the league because we're winning by more than 3 points. Any close season, and I'm putting on my tinfoil conspiracy hat here, the refs always make some choices that end up costing us the league or end up, you know.
Well, it was just so clear, right?
This is the biggest thing. Yeah, let's go to the first goal, right? It's around the 10th minute, and there's a cross, and then one of their players goes down, and Busquets tugged his jersey. Now, I think no one is going to say, hey, if you call that a penalty, you're totally wrong. I think it was, you know, an okay call. It's just in the 93rd minute when the game ended, there was a similar tug on Piqué that was not called. So what's frustrating is when you have refereeing that is not
consistent,
symmetrical, you know, where they're calling the same plays on both sides. And then the fact that they didn't even have a VAR review at the end of the game, real frustrating. But 10th minute, they score a goal. We were pretty worried.
Yeah, we were worried, and the one thing I want to highlight and I want to talk about, because we've gone through the social media, we've seen what people are saying in general, and I have my own takes, you have your own takes on all this, but, you know, people are complaining that our performance wasn't that great, and I agree with that, but coming from a standpoint where they score in the first 10 minutes off a, you know, very unfortunate penalty. I think we did a great job in coming back and, you know, scoring two goals that were very good with Griezmann's first goal and the Suarez second goal. So that's where I want to highlight that. I know we've been on a positive win streak and, you know, our form has looked a lot better. Today, I think that's we struggled with that. I'm happy that we were able to come back, although it just wasn't the greatest of defensive and midfield
performances.
Yeah, performances.
You know, that's kind of the weird thing, is that if you had told me last week that we would go to Real Sociedad away and get a draw, I would say, hey, that's not that bad of a you know, result,
definitely,
right? But when you take into account the midfield performance today, the midfield choice by Valverde, and the refereeing decision, I think we all left this game feeling really underwhelmed, right?
Yeah.
You know, it was great, like you're saying, right, around the 38th minute, there was a nice little dink by Griezmann, mm-hmm, chip over the keeper. Beautiful against his old team.
Two games in a row, too, with this,
yeah,
chip.
Yeah, against Mallorca, he, mm-hmm, also had a chip goal, so it's good to see him kind of getting on the sheet. And then, like you referenced, right, in the 49th minute, there was a Messi. He got a breakaway due to a nice pass from Busquets, and then unselfishly, you know, teed up Suarez, who just tapped it in right home. I agree with you that that was great, and I was happy to see that. But overall, I mean, Messi really looked bad today, right?
Very true.
Biggest Messi fans alive over here, but we have to call it what it was. He had a really bad performance today. And it just seems to stem from the choice of midfield, is my opinion. How this game went wrong is that we just put Busquets and Rakitic out there against a team that presses hard, and we weren't able to, you know, cope with it, right? Even Frankie didn't look that great today.
No.
It just seemed that overall, you know, they kept pressing us, they kept taking the ball, and they really commanded the game. There was not really a point in the game where I thought, like, oh, Barca have this in the bag, and you know, we're really trying to take the game over. A lot of the older players, you know, as people have been saying all season, just didn't look that engaged. There was just way too much walking and jogging around the field for my liking.
Well, we also let up way too many holes in the midfield as the ball was being pressed against us. Like, they had so many through balls that could have came in. You know, luckily PK snuffed some of these out.
PK looked amazing today.
Yeah, so that's just that there's too many balls coming through our midfield and not, you know, giving them too much of pressure and preventing them from making these, you know, passes that should not penetrate our defense, right?
Here's my first question to you. I've heard a lot of people be upset with Lenglet lately. You know, do you think that this is a cause for concern or panic, or do you think he's just going through a small pocket of bad form? What's kind of your take on his performance?
I think that Lenglet has played every game pretty much, except he didn't play the last game against Inter, but overall he's been playing, you know, same with PK as well, though, but, you know, playing the full 90 minutes. I think maybe some of these other teams that we've been playing against that haven't been as heavy pressers, maybe he just didn't expect it, maybe he fell asleep a little bit, but I don't think he did that bad. I think he did make mistakes, of course, but overall, like,
the issue is that, you know, when you have a bunch of players who, oh, they didn't play that bad, but they, you know, left things to be desired, that adds up across the pitch, right?
True.
Stegen, you know, had that blunder against Mallorca where he should have came out and got the ball. He kind of left it in no man's land, and they got a header. In this game as well, even though the cross was deflected for the second Real Sociedad goal where, mm-hmm, they tied it up, you know, that first kick, I wish he would have swallowed it up, right? He kind of let a rebound go, and right in front of him was the Real Sociedad player. And so just all around the pitch, Alba, right, once the second half started, I don't know if he's just fatigued because he hasn't played a full 90 in a while, but we had to sub him out and put Semedo in as that left back.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, just no one really seemed like they were that into the game. I mean, I think by far the two best players on the pitch were PK and Griezmann. You know, like we say almost every week now, even if Griezmann isn't scoring, and he did score today, he's putting in that defensive work rate that is really helping the team and shore up some of the cracks of having Messi and Suarez not press as hard, having Busquets not be as quick as he used to be in terms of, you know, trying to recover the ball, and Rakitic as well. Here's my second question.
Uh-huh.
I think, you know, Rakitic, since the international break, has been able to come in, and he has been, you know, the one, like we talked about last podcast, he's been the one thing that you can clearly see that Valverde changed from before the international break, that we've been playing better, right? The whole elephant in the room that there's some weird rumors going on.
Arthur?
Is that our boy Arthur is not playing, right? Uh-huh. The club is saying that he has a pubic injury, right? Some sort of muscular injury that they fear might be a chronic one. There are some salacious rumors on Twitter about his...
There's some images.
His fornicating and contracting diseases. I don't think that's really, you know, something we should acknowledge because I think it's just baseless Twitter rumors. But Arthur seems like the player that is the most obvious solution to these type of games, mm-hmm. right? He's able to, you know, at least dribble with the ball.
More dynamic, more energetic.
More dynamic, more looking, you know, to at least keep the ball in our possession. And he's not going to lose as many balls as Rakitic or Busquets did today. Okay, two things. What do you think is his issue? And
Arthur's?
Yeah.
Okay, and?
And do you think he's a solution to our midfield issues? Because, you know, on the other side of the coin here, a lot of people, including myself, are really into Alenia and think he has a lot to offer in these type of games because he's younger, he's more hungry, he's able to run more, but also because he's able to dribble around opponents and also seems like he's always looking to pass the ball forward, which is kind of what we lack when we have Busquets and Rakitic on the pitch. So, yeah, what do you think is wrong with Arthur? One, I mean, what's your best guess? And then two, what do you think is our kind of our solution to the midfield? Is it Arthur only? Do we need to start playing Alenia more? Do we need to, you know, give the kibosh to any Rakitic and Busquets starting at the same time in one game? What are your thoughts?
So, one, I think Arthur... I think he just has some muscular issues going on in this pelvic region. He seems to do a lot of twisting and turning on the pitch, from what I notice. And that could be, you know, indicative, or not indicative, but his injuries could be a result of, you know, excess, you know, torsion in that sense. But I don't think there's... I have no proof to say this man has any contraction of...
sexually transmitted diseases.
Yes.
Let's just call it for what it is.
What am I supposed to say about that?
Yeah,
right?
I think we should just avoid that. So then, getting into the second question about the midfield,
yeah.
What is Arthur the solution? Do we need to play other players? Is there a certain combination that you think doesn't work?
See, I think Arthur is good in fast-paced games. The only issue that I have with him, and I wish he would improve on, is the fact that he does hold on the ball too long, and when we need to press the ball fast. The issue is he doesn't tend to release the ball soon enough. There was a game, I believe, I totally forget what game, but he had a great assist to Messi, moved the ball forward, and it was a quick pass. If he would do that more often, I think he would be the player that we really need to fit these fast-paced games.
So what do you think about Alenia?
Alenia,
let's just everyone on the podcast.
I don't hate Alenia.
Long time listeners know
no.
that Yus hates Alenia.
I don't hate Alenia.
Yus and Alenia and Valverde are tied together because Yus. I remember getting the text from you after the first game of the season at San Mamés against Bilbao. Alenia had a real stinker of a first half, and that's why he was banished from playing by Valverde
upset.
For months. I remember you texting me, man, Alenia's all this, all that. You saw him play well against Inter Milan. You saw him come in today and at least look like he had some more life than Rakitic and Busquets.
Unfortunately, only got like 13 minutes or 20 minutes max.
So what do you think? Do you think he's part of our solution?
I think if Valverde was brave enough and played him more often, I think he could add something to our offensive play. It's hard for me to actually say if he's going to be a solution to that because I do have an issue with his overall playing a lot of the time. I don't think he has the skill set high enough at this moment to, you know, provide what we need.
Okay. If you want to get my take, I think what I was alluding to earlier that we really shouldn't start Busquets and Rakitic at the same time, especially
sure.
against teams that press us and especially away, right? It just seems in some of these games that our midfield gets totally overrun and we have no options to get the ball forward. And then what happens is that we get basically Ter Stegen having to kick long balls, which he's very good at, but even if you're great at it, you
can't
always
save
be accurate.
You every game,
yeah,
too.
And so because we have to bypass the midfield, he's kicking these long balls. Sometimes they get turnovers, and then we get hit on the press. And then because our midfield is because we're because the long ball is a solution to our midfield being bad, when those long balls get into turnovers, our midfield is still bad and not able to handle, you know, a counterattack or any sort of speed and ingenuity from the opposing team's midfield. And so, you know, everyone knows that I've been down on Busquets for a little while here, and that I've been down on Rakitic for a little while as well. And so seeing them both start in important games away really does not get me too excited. And I think that we need some more creativity from Valverde, because even though, okay, he subbed on some, you know, B-team players against Inter Milan, that was a one-off game where nothing mattered, but think about if you're Jurgen Klopp or if you're Pep Guardiola or, you know, any opposing coach. Are you ever surprised by the players that FC Barcelona play in big games or the subs they make, right? I mean, today, was anyone surprised that Vidal came on? No. Alba, because he hadn't played that many games, you wouldn't always assume Alba's going to be subbed off. He subbed off for Semedo, right? We put on another midfielder, it's going to be Alenia. It just seems like too often the adjustments in the starting lineups by Valverde are so predictable, and so the other team is just easily able to create a strategy that works, right? I mean, you know, games like today against Real Sociedad, next time we play a tough team, possibly even when we play Madrid on Wednesday, or, you know, any other tough La Liga or Champions League or Copa del Rey games we have, there's a recipe there to break our team. And if you're going to start the same starting lineup every game and not throw in any surprise subs, and you take your subs only after 70 minutes, I mean, the opposing coach basically knows the plan to plan against. And, you know, what a surprise, right? The first game Messi has bad in a while, we get a draw. But which is classic Valverde ball.
Also, you're right. And I agree with the whole strategical other side of the game where the other coach can predict who's getting put in and whatnot. But let's not forget, like we just talked about, we've had some injuries with players that almost limit us to who we can bring to the game and who we can sub in, you know. Having Alenia and not having Arthur is very unfortunate. I would have loved to see Arthur for FDJ and, you know, Busquets or something, or Alenia, FDJ, and Busquets, where Busquets can kind of play back and, you know, help us in that defensive midfield. Well, I know that he's not passing the ball forward as much, and, you know, leave that to FDJ and maybe Arthur to, you know, create our offense from the midfield and provide a buffer to our defense. That's the only issue I have with what we're talking about here is I'm not trying to support really Ernesto Valverde here, right? we haven't done that in a while.
We're not going to do it for a while.
But he is sort of limited in these games with the substitutes he can have. It's hard, but he put in Vidal, which I think was a poor decision.
Okay, but as someone who just, you know, 20 minutes ago was talking about how high you are on Carlos Perez, don't you think Carlos Perez could have done something good in this game?
Yes, I do. That is
right. Ansu Fati's on the bench, even though we talk so much about how we don't want to put too much pressure on Fati and overwork his legs at such a young age. Fati's on the bench, right? I mean, I see what you're saying. It's really Carlos Perez, Ansu Fati, and then the big guy who, you know, is playing against, you know, third string players in the B team, Ricky Pooch. Mm-hmm. I still think he should be getting some more time. Does he need to hit the weights and get a little more core strength? Certainly, but
he's very small.
But, you know, there are options. We're just not using them.
Well, here's a question that I just thought of. So you're Valverde, right? And it's 2-1, and you what?
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, and you decide, like, what am I gonna do? What's my strategy here? Do I put on Carlos Perez to create some offensive play to try to score again, or do I buffer up the, you know, the holes that we're having in this defense in the midfield / in the back?
My take is that when we're up 2-1 and you know that it's a godsend that we're even up 2-1, right? We were being outplayed for most of the game.
Really
we were being
hard.
Outplayed.
Yeah.
We had a few moments of brilliance from Griezmann and then a great Busquets pass to Messi, but and then his pass to Suarez. But it was clear we were up, not because of our own performances and the strength of the lineup he had out there. You don't make that substitution at 70-plus minutes. 73,
I agree with
the
that.
73rd minute is the first sub when it's already 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
agreed.
He just, sometimes it seems like Valverde doesn't want to tinker with the team out of fear of losing points, right? That's kind of where a lot of the people who say Valverde is a mid-table manager come from. It's like, for him, a draw away at Real Sociedad is a good performance. right? We got 1 point against the, you know, a top four team in La Liga, but we need to be more proactive. That's my main issue, right? Even if, let's say we're not going to put in Ricky Pooch or, you know, even Ansu Fati, like, we could put on Carlos Perez in the 60th minute. We could even put on Alenia in the 60th minute. We could make changes that are going to affect the game earlier. Whereas what happens a lot of times of he just, oh, we got a lead. Let's this team that was out there got the lead. Let's just hold on to it, and we'll, you know, these players will be able to do it. But it's like, yeah, we have the lead, but we didn't play well. You know,
I agree.
If you have that fear of like, oh, we might lose points, or oh, you know, if we just keep and turtle in, we might be able to save, you know, some more points. It's like, well, hey, you're being outplayed. You need to be proactive and make changes. You can't just, you know, expect the team that's being outperformed to, you know, spend 30 minutes and not let up a goal.
I agree with that, but to my question, in the sense that you know, the subs that you suggested, Elena and Carlos Perez, you said that as an offensive point before they scored the second goal, right? That's 2-1. I'm asking you, what would you do in that? So are you saying you would become more offensive in that position? Or
definitely. I mean, because, you know, if you put on a defensive sub, I'm not even really sure what that is with our bench, to be honest, right? And you can't keep it the same because it's not working well.
But this is the issue where they were pressing us a lot. We were having, you know, low ball possession.
So the answer is to get quick passing, right? The answer is that, you know, if the opponents are pressing you hard, that generally means there's space left open in other parts of the pitch. And so having Busquets and Rakitic who are slow and who aren't, you know, always going to be making these off the ball runs and making trying to create is not the answer. And so, yeah, I think maybe you take off Rakitic and put on Carlos Perez, you know?
For sure. Proactive play, I agree with. That's definitely something he's failed at, especially this game.
Well, I guess the last thing we have to close up with on this game is the 93rd minute failed penalty call.
Crap.
We tweeted about it. We put it on Instagram. I mean, it was a clear jersey pull. I'm not always the guy who's going to say every jersey pull is a penalty, but if you call that penalty in the 10th minute for Sociedad, I mean, then ours is clearly a penalty.
Just not a fair call whatsoever by the referee, and that's why everybody was so upset this whole game or at the end of this game. But, you know, we got the point, whatever. We're going into a more important game coming up here against Madrid.
The Whites, the Blancos.
Yeah,
so yeah, not exactly. With the positive narrative we had, this game was kind of a bummer. I mean, like I said earlier, we'd be happy with 1 point against one of the best teams away in a stadium that's always been hard for Barcelona. But here we go. We got Real Madrid on Wednesday. I'm pretty excited. I think this team always, especially at home, rises to the occasion against Madrid. We've had some great results in the last decade, you would say.
It's kind of funny, though, because every time I think about talking about our great results against Real Madrid, I remember the first game that we watched together with Real Madrid, we lost
the Super
pretty
Copa.
Bad.
Yeah, the Supercopa in 2017.
And ever since then, we've killed them.
True.
And
it's going to happen again this Wednesday, guys.
True, I like the positivity.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. So do you have any predictions for the midfield in this game? I have a feeling he's going to go with like a Frankie Busquets Vidal lineup. Which I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of. Again, I think like Busquets, Rakitic, Vidal, no two of those players should start at the same time. But without Arthur, I don't think he's going to put Alenia in such a, you know, tense game. So I think we'll get De Jong, Busquets, Vidal, maybe even Rakitic in for Busquets. But I think if I had to predict the game, I'm going to predict a 3-1 victory for Barca. I think the front three are going to come out swinging. I know Suarez loves scoring against Real Madrid. I think Griezmann wants to stick it to him, too. I think Messi loves sticking it to him. So I have a feeling our front three are going to be a lot more dynamic this game than our last game.
I'm going to go with a 3-1 as well, but I'm going to give Frankie a goal in this game.
Really? I would love it. That's a dream, right, to see Frankie De Jong score in a Clásico.
I think he has the energy, and I think this is a time to, you know, turn it up a notch. So I want to see FDJ score. And then in the midfield, this is so tough, man. I think this is the issue we've had all season is, you know, talking about this midfield, who we're going to play, what team are we going against.
But they don't have Bale, right? They don't have Hazard. His ankle's hurt. So this is a pretty weakened Madrid side. That's why I feel so confident. As well, I think, you know, if they get punched in the mouth in... They don't have Marcelo either, which is always good. Marcelo, for the longest time, always shows
just have
up.
Have Roberto punch
him in the face again and get a red card. Hopefully not. Any last thoughts about the Clásico before we get out of here?
I think it's going to be intense. I'm excited. Let's do it.
Boom.